It's Friday, May 16th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing part two of a message in Matthew chapter 12 titled, Plain Teaching from Jesus on Repentance.
There are those who are broken and needy who hear the sign and see it. The sign of the cross, the preaching of the cross. Who need their sins forgiven. It's not rocket science. You don't need a rocket to come. 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 Repent. Believe these words.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
And Jesus here functions as an old covenant kind of lawsuit prophet. You wicked and adulterous generation. Listen to this. I'm not giving you a single sign except one. Except that of the prophet Jonah. Now, if there was any Old Testament story that was offensive to Israel, it was that one. God sent his prophet to Nineveh, remember, and that prophet wasn't the greatest of prophets. That's probably how I would have been back then. Kind of rebellious, stubborn, stiff-necked myself. That's what I am today, by the way. He sends the prophet to Nineveh to preach the gospel to Nineveh, to preach repentance. And remember, that was just at a time in Israel's history when they were being given over to idolatry. So God, it was as if God said, fine, I'm turning to Nineveh. So he sends Jonah to Nineveh. You know what that's like? You know, do you understand the shock of this? Nineveh was the worst of the time. It was the worst pagan city of the time. I noticed this past week, last few weeks, there have been all these Christians from other parts of the country putting on social media that the fires were a judgment because California is so wicked. One even said and put up a sign of homosexuality. That's why it's burning. So many have left California, right? Because this place is so evil. And I think in a lot of people, when you hear these kind of comments, you don't get a sense that before God, they're any better. They think they're better. That's what I mean. And their whole approach from God is, I want a better experience. Away from all this, what if God sent a preacher into Hollywood and the whole thing repented? Newsom and all. What a story to raise. God sends Jonah into wicked Nineveh, baby aborting Nineveh. You think we do it bad? The most wicked, perverse nation and capital of the Assyrians. It's here's the sign I'll give you. Here's the sign I'll give you. Jonah goes on his way to Nineveh to preach the gospel, and he goes 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. By the way, Jesus is just proving here he believes that's not some kind of false story, that he believes that's a historical record. That it really happened. Jesus ties the sign that as Jonah went into the fish and came out, that Jonah is a type. Jonah is a type of him who went 3 days and who would go at this point 3 days and three nights into the heart of the earth. That sign has been preached to this day all over the world. It's really remarkable. It's a sign of the cross, if you will. And the grave. And the victorious resurrection that would follow. Where after that, Jonah would go and preach repentance. to Nineveh. Here's Jesus come to do this. And he's out preaching repentance. I'll give you a sign. I'll give you a message like no other message. How about this, you wicked and adulterous generation? I'm going to give you a bloody sign. You're going to take God's only son. And you're going to hate him. And you're going to spit on him. And you're going to kill him and murder him. And you're going to bury him in the earth. And Jesus replies it in a remarkable way. Jonah comes out of the fish. You remember he goes and preaches. Remember what happened? The whole city repented. That generation of Ninevites repented. And Jesus says they're going to be in the resurrection judging you. The whole generation of Ninevites repented. They went in sackcloth and ashes. And he captures that in verse 44. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jesus follows it up with a statement that's intended to make us marvel at the claim, and something greater than Jonah's here. That's a trembling statement. Think of the comparison. Jonah's a minor prophet. He's a very weak prophet. He was a rebellious prophet. He doesn't even seem like his heart was in it. And God, everywhere he went, could even convert sailors through this man. Jonah enters the city, yet in 40 days, this is all we have recorded, which is interesting because you want to say, well, he must have said a lot more than that. Jesus doesn't really indicate that here. He says, yet in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. There's nothing more said. And the entire city falls down in sackcloth and ashes. The king, the wicked king, whom somebody would have probably called scum, new scum. This is what we live in. Christians don't do that stuff, by the way. We treat our leaders with respect. Repent. They turned to the Lord. They humbled themselves. And that whole generation was saved. Who are they listening to preach this generation? The eternal Son of God in human form, flesh. This whole story is playing out. And Luke, here's what happened. All Gospels give all this attention to it. He's in his hometown preaching in Nazareth. A prophet is not with honor except in his hometown. He preaches and he heals a leper there. And then they reject him. And he says, listen, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah, the prophet, listen to this, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Offensive. These good and these righteous people. It says at that point that they rose up in wrath in Nazareth. And they took him and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Jesus gives one more example, the Queen of Sheba. She's going to rise up in judgment against this generation. She came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I mean, think about what that woman did. She heard of this great king. She heard of a great king in Israel who was so wise. And she traveled, they say, 1,200 miles. She didn't even get an invite. She gave treasures. She wanted to sit at the feet of this king and listen to his word. She's going to rise up. Here I am preaching, says Jesus. She's demonstrating all wisdom. The Son of God is here. All compassion. And what do they want to do to him? Did the Queen of Sheba want to kill him? You ask, who are the most difficult to reach sometimes? I was reading a writer who said this, less enlightened people obeyed less enlightened preaching. But more enlightened people here refuse to obey the light of the world. And I think we're pressed here. We're in the church, right? We're the good people, right? At this point, the test comes. The righteous would rather have a better show. The righteous would rather have a better show and be validated. Do you think they're saying, amazing, he's come to save sinners? They want nothing to do with it. What does this all have to do with us? Well, it comes with a solemn question. Have we repented? Do we think we are not as deserving as other sinners who deserve the wrath and judgment of God? God chose the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So think right now what we're preaching. What is happening all over the world in those churches that are faithful to the message? They're preaching Christ from all scriptures. They're preaching the sign. Nobody would ever make this up. Who would ever thought that this would work? Who would ever thought this sign would work? A pastor is running around all over the world and preaching about a bloody death. The Romans thought it was so stupid. How could you ever put your God on a cross? That's not power. Who would ever come and believe that? In the first section of Matthew, presses us to say, which house are we in? See, he gives a little parable here. We understand this. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Now here's the application. So it will be with this generation. This evil generation. He's describing that generation. His presence as the Son of God, the greater than Jonah, the greater that is here, was casting out demons everywhere. He was cleaning up the house for a while of Israel. That whole generation had seen it. What a generation to see this. Can you imagine? But what were they like to him? They were the ones influenced by Satan. They were the ones in darkness. The people hated him are like a man now who are going to have eight demons. He comes, helps to sweep up the house, and as soon as he leaves, it's over. Eight demons are coming back to make this thing that much worse. You stop and you say today, well, where's the good news in this section? You know, this is one of your challenges as a pastor. I really want to bless and comfort you all the time. I really do. Come back from vacation or whatever. It's sometimes hard to come and bring the whole counsel of God that challenges us. But it's healthy for us because now the good news really sounds out, doesn't it? While he's still speaking, his mom and his brother stand outside. Go tell him we need to talk with him right now. Mom is in the way. Never seen that in the ministry. Mark tells us why. This kind of teaching has caused a stir. He's crazy. He's crazy. Mark says this much, and when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. I feel like that sometimes when I'm preaching. I hope you don't think that of me. Think of what I'm saying. His family was saying it. As Lewis said, you got a choice. He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. So his family thinks he's crazy. And in verse 49, he stretches out his hands in front of everyone to his disciples. Here are my mother, and here are my brothers. Right here. Another shocking statement, and then comes the answer. The answer of the passage, this whole section. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Boom! Section ends. We go to parables. And you stop and you say, who's doing the will of his Father in heaven? And you can answer that by what Matthew has showed us. Jesus is about to, remember what he declared back in chapter 11? I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to who? Little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom, listen, the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he can imagine, puts out his hands, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is the will? What is the will of the Father? Well, it was said everywhere. The will of the Father, this is the will of my Father. This is the will whom the Father gives me will come to me, and he who comes to me I will in no wise throw out. All those whom my Father gives me, they will come to me. There's the will. Come. But that was hidden from the wise and the proud and the presumptuous. So who's the family of God? Who's the new covenant community he's building? The new Israel. It's the generation of the Ninevites, if you will. There sits the Queen of Sheba, if you will. There are those who are broken and needy who hear the sign and see it. The sign of the cross, the preaching of the cross. Who need their sins forgiven. It's not rocket science. You don't need a rocket to come. Come. That's the will. Come, repent. Believe these words. And Jesus encourages us in closing. His family are not the proud. They're not the pompous Pharisees. And aren't you thankful? Sure, we all struggle with it. That's not what I'm saying. They're not the people who have it all together. They're not the people who are so wealthy they don't need anything. They are a train of weak people. And so, when people say Christianity is for weak people, we say, yeah, because it's never been for the strong, because there are no strong. Jesus, I close with this, is about to tell the parable of the wedding feast. This gracious master went out and invited all these people to the wedding of his son. And a shocking thing happened. The first invites went out and didn't respond. They actually did. We read they made light of it. They went each one to his own farm. Farm was more important. Another to his business, definitely more important. Another
others seized the ones who went out and do the inviting and they killed them. Master was furious. Says, go out to the highways and the byways. My wedding hall will be filled with guests and they will come. And it was. Guests who understood, of course, most of all, they need a wedding garment. They need the righteousness of Jesus. Washed in Him. Isaiah 1, come, though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. In the midst of this passage that Jesus exposes the darkness of the human heart is hope. Jesus has come to have compassion on you and your sins, to save you from your sins. He won't fail. And He promises those who come to Him, He'll never cast out. That's His will. Come. You then, in contrast to that generation, are what the Psalms call the generation of the upright, the generation of the blessed. You are blessed. So believe Him, trust Him, and receive all that He's done for you by faith. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank You for this text. What a marvelous text. We pray that You would give us faith to believe You and to trust You. And that we, Lord, would come. We are that weak. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. We ask, Lord, that we would hear this gracious call that You have revealed to children like us. And that we would see that Your family is a family whom You have identified closely with, of sinners, redeemed, purchased by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give You thanks with a cheerful heart today for the gracious gift of salvation, for working in us true repentance by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email, that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.